Stepped out of a comfort zone. I think, if I remember correctly from a conversation I had with him, you probably just heard his first ever public speech. And it wasn't something I had a time when, just in the past week or so, that I met with Miguel, just, and we've been meeting together, he and Alex and I, just to talk about plans leading up to their wedding. But I wanted a time just for Miguel and I to spend some time together. I've known Alex for quite some time, but not Miguel so much, so we got together for lunch. And in the midst of that, I began to hear some of what you shared today, what he shared today. And it just touched me in a way. And for those of you who are graduates, I think it's a valid challenge. Miguel is in a place today that he couldn't imagine a year ago in many ways, and has confidence and hopes and plans that he didn't have before. And so as a person who is a graduate, and I nudged him a little bit, when I first asked him about it, he said, "Well, Greg, I've never done anything like that before." I didn't nudge too hard, but eventually he was willing to. So I'm hoping today, not just for the graduates, but for all of us, that we'll realize that God has plans for us that often we can't see. And you will probably feel a little bit of a nudge today. I'm not going to be saying anything specifically to you. I'm not going to ask anybody else here like I asked Miguel to get up and speak in front of church next Sunday with less than 2 weeks' notice. But I believe God does nudge us. And he's going to be nudging the graduates for sure as they head off to the new transitions, whatever that may be for you. But God continues to nudge all of us as believers. So I want us to hear that together today. You may want to open your Bibles to the scripture that Miguel read. It comes from John chapter 14, and we'll be referring to the verses there. John 14, verses 15 through 20. And maybe just put your finger there, put your bulletin there. But I first want to start off, and if you're looking in your bulletin, there's kind of an outline there. But I'm talking about our love for God and God's love for us. So I direct this towards the graduates, but I'll let the others of you listen in too. Graduates, do you love your family? Do you love your family? Think about that. What does that mean? What pictures? What does that conjure up when I ask that? As you make this transition in life, you're likely to reflect back and realize the importance of this as well as many other relationships over the years. Your relationships with your family, your relationships with other people. These relationships have shaped you and brought you to where you are today. Can you imagine that, Jasper? Can you imagine the number of people who somehow or another have influenced where you are today? As you begin thinking about that, you're sitting beside three of them right there. But there's a lot more. Same for you, Taylor. There's a lot of people, and we don't live just in a vacuum. But people around us make a difference in that. So let's think about three of those in particular. And graduates, I'm not going to ask you to list them, but other people have probably celebrated them already. And if you haven't had your graduation party yet, I think some of it may happen there. But think about your achievements. Who are the people who believed in you, who encouraged you, who sacrificed for you? And yes, it's your family, and I think they probably need to be at the top of that list, and we need to realize that. But there's other people in our lives that do that too because they believe in us. My next question is challenges. What challenges have you faced in the years prior to your life? To whom did you turn for strength? Who was there when no one else was there? Who was there to help you out? And again, this is directed toward graduates, but you realize that this question pertains to every one of us. There are people who've had challenges. Every one of us has had a challenge in the past year, maybe in the last month or the past week or maybe yesterday, or maybe you're facing one right now. But who is it that stands by your side? Then the last one, mistakes. Who forgave you and looked beyond your mistakes? Who helped you learn from your mistakes instead of defining you by your mistakes? Have you ever made a mistake, Taylor? No. She says with a big smile on her face. I won't ask Mom sitting on the other side. But you get my point. We make mistakes, but so often when we do make a mistake, we can be hard on ourselves or others can be hard on us, and we begin to be defined or allow ourselves to be defined by our mess ups. And every single person on the face of this earth makes mistakes and messes up. But those of us who are blessed have people who know those mistakes, understand that we're not perfect, and look beyond those, not to define us by them, but look beyond us to see who God created us to be. Now, my point, and this is all going to relate, but today, especially for the graduates, I want you to know how much God loves you. You need to know how much God loves you. And if you do, I don't believe that you can help but to love God back. Because when someone really loves and cares you, and you know that. Now, there's some people that can love and care for you in your life, and for whatever reasons, for whatever perspective you may be looking at, you don't get that. But I'm hoping today in what we talk about, it will be undeniable how much God loves you. And you will not be able to help but to love God back. And as you move forward from today, the greatest gift I can give you is the assurance that God loves you and wants to be in a relationship with you. And we talk about that in church, and you come to church and there's an aspect of a relationship with God that comes through the church. There's that the truth of what it means to be saved and salvation and recognizing Jesus' death on the cross, and we become baptized, and all of that. I'm not trying to at all belittle the importance, because that's the step you take into relationship with God, but it doesn't end there. The relationship with God is a daily thing. And particularly those who are transitioning now need to be able to grasp hold to that and know that and understand what it is. So, how do you know God loves you? I'm going to pick on Taylor. I already picked a little bit more on Jasper. See if you can finish this statement for me, Taylor. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. She deserves an A, don't you think? For the Bible tells me so. So the first way that we know that God loves us is because of Scripture. And it says it over and over and over again. And for the graduates, that's one of the reasons we give you the Bible. Because that's both an instruction book from God as you continue your life, but it's also a love letter from God. That as we read it and take it in, we understand really and truly how much God loves us, the sacrifice He made, but the guidance that He offers us. So we know God loves us because the Bible tells us so. Second, we know God loves us because He gave His Son. Think about your family. And graduates, none of you have children yet. But think about it in terms of your family, the ones that are closest to you. What would it be like for you to give up? I wasn't going to say siblings, because you might do that easier than some others, but to give up one of your parents or sibling. You just don't have to tell them how much it would mean to actually have to do that. But that's what God did. God allowed His Son to be sacrificed on a cross, not because He deserved it, but because He loved us and wanted to have a relationship with us. So we've got the Bible, we've got the sacrifice that God was willing to make, but you also have your life, the evidence of your life. And graduates, as you look back over your life, as you look back and you really reflect, I believe there'll be times there that you can see where God really and truly made a difference through other people, maybe even through divine intervention. There are things that sometimes we think of coincidence, and then we look down the road and see God did some things all through the time that we just thought things were happening. God had a plan that worked out to get you to the point that you are. Our lives are filled with evidence of God's love. The more you communicate and express your love in any genuine, heartfelt relationship, the actions that you have, the more opportunity that relationship has to positively influence, guide, and direct you. So the genuine love that you have, when you express that through actions, and that relationship builds and you get closer to that person, that, because we began talking about relationships and how different people in your life have influenced you, when you build those relationships, that person has more and more influence. Well, this is true of all relationships, including your relationship with God. And God's already there. God has given everything. God loves you more than anyone else ever has or ever will, including your mama, who's having a really hard time with your graduation probably. Celebrating at the same time, but realizing that it's not only a transition for you, it's a transition for your whole family. And it's a challenge. But God loves you even more than that. And it's hard to get our minds around it, but I'm telling you it's true, and I want you to know that as you leave today. And it's not just for the graduates who are here. It's for all of us. We hear it so much, and we get to where we go through the motions that we take God's love for granted. I want to stop for a minute. Have you ever had your love taken for granted? Have you ever had your care for someone else taken for granted? That it just seemed like they didn't care or they didn't appreciate it. Now, I'm guessing that probably could have happened without them realizing they were doing that. But did that make your love for them any less? Do you understand my question? Has there been a time that you cared for someone, you loved them, you just wanted what was best for them, and it seemed like they didn't get it? But does that really make you love them any less? Sometimes in our humanness, it can. But I'm telling you, with God, it doesn't. God loves you with an infinite amount of love. Scripture calls it agape love. We don't even in English, we can't explain it the same way that it was in the original language, because they had different words for love. We love our mom the same way we love chocolate chip cookies, and it just doesn't translate. Agape love is the love that God has for us, that unmerited, complete love. That's how God loves you. And you need to know that. So if you do know that, you know that God loved you, you know that God allowed His Son to die for you because He loved so much, how are we going to respond? How do we respond to God's love? What does that look like? What should it look like? And I'm going to give you three possible things you can do. This is the way I described them. You can go about your business and let God tag along. The way I described this, in my own words, is a faith of convenience. You want to say, you know, I'm into this God thing, and I'll say I'm a Christian, but you know, I'll go to church, I'll read my Bible sometimes, but really the way you're living your life, you're the one that's still in control. You'll let God be a part of that occasionally, but God becomes your tag-along. You allow that. You ever had a relationship like that where there was a person in your life that you could legitimately define as a tag-along? It wasn't a close relationship. It wasn't an intimate relationship. It wasn't your best friend. It was just somebody you literally allowed to tag along with you. But you really didn't give that much of yourself. You really didn't invest that much. They tagged along. We, some of ourselves who call ourselves Christians, allow God to be our tag-along. That's one way that we can choose to have our relationship with God. Another one is that we can actually ignore or push God away and just basically say, God, I don't need you. I've got this, and when I don't have it, I'll figure it out myself. I've got it, God. And we take God and we put him up on a shelf. We may even somehow or another try to acknowledge that maybe we have a church membership somewhere, or maybe we call ourselves a Christian, but when it really comes to living life, God, evidence of God being a part of it is very few and far between. But then the third one is that you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And there are sermons after sermons after sermons been preached on this, and there's it's multiple places in Scripture you can find this about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But if you seek to do that, it's just like that relationship. It can go from being a tag-along or an ignored relationship to one where God, just like other people in your life, and you think about it, there are people in your life right now, and you can probably list two or three that have the most significant influence on your life, the most significant influence on the decisions you're going to make this week, the most significant influence on where you're going to be next week, the most significant influence on what is going to continue to be important in your life. And I'm telling you, if you allow God, if you invite God to be a part of your life in such a way that you're investing your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God yearns to do that with you. And then God has that influence. You allow God to be the one that directs you. Verse 15, one of the first ones there. We talked about loving God. Verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commands." Do you know what God's commands are? They're in Scripture. I know it's important for us to familiarize ourselves with Scripture. It's just like I said, it's an instruction manual and it's a love letter. Another thing that I know is important for me, and I think is important for most people, is, and in Proverbs it talks about it a lot, having wise counsel. There are people that, if particularly if you ask God to show them to you, you're just aware that they're connected to God in a way that they can offer you wisdom and encouragement and support, even if they don't know all the details of your life, because it's not about them. It's not about all of who they are. It's about who God is and the fact that they allow God to work through them. And by the way, there's some of you in here right now who are doing a really good job of that. And there are people whose lives are being able to be touched because of that. So it works both ways. We need to allow God to bring those people into our lives, but we need to be those people in other people's lives as well. So keeping God's commands, knowing what that is. Next one, listen to the Holy Spirit. And it continues to talk about that in the Scripture. We got God has given us an advocate. That's the word it used. Basically, it means God hasn't left us. God left us with the Holy Spirit that's going to allow us to have an ongoing connection to know who God is and what God wants to say to us. God can and will speak directly to you. If you're too caught up in the world, you won't be able to see the Holy Spirit even though it's there. And everyone who has Jesus Christ, accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, has access to the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a scripture, and this was one that I held on to when I was graduating from high school. And I remember it, and I've continued to build on it. It's one of the ones I just, if I had a life verse, so to speak, some people call that, it would probably be this. It's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. But this is verse 2 of Romans 12. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what his plan is and who you are to be. And as you go out, you aren't to completely separate yourself from the world. We're to be in the world, but not of it. And sometimes that's hard for us to understand. But it means that, yes, we're going to be a part of those people around us, and some of those people aren't going to understand our relationship with Christ. They may not have a relationship with Christ themselves, but we become someone that God uses, and we're in the world, but we're not defined by the world and what they say and how they view us. We're defined by God. And then that influence has an influence on the world. Finally, this is the title of my message, and it's my challenge specifically to the graduates today. Go with God. God has a plan for you and will never give up on the best He has planned for you. And graduates, I hope as you leave today, you have a desire to head down that road, whatever it is that God had. And you know, even if you mean it with all of your heart and you've got everybody behind you, you're going to veer from that path. But God's plan is still for the best plan to be done. So He will help you come back if you seek Him, if you ask Him for that. Because you're going to go off. Everybody in this room has done that and will continue to do that. But God desires what's best for you. This is a scripture. It's probably it's sometimes that I feel like it's overused. And I thought about it. I prayed about it specifically before doing this. But it's so true. And it's something I keep coming back to. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." You've probably heard it before, but it has so much meaning and so much truth, and it's what God wants, and it's the God that loves you more than anybody else ever can. And you know, that should do something for us inside, and not just for the graduates, but for all of us, to know God has that type of plan. Then to close, I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll come up, but this is what I want you to hear, and there'll be a time of invitation that you can come forward, and I'd love to pray with you about this. And or it may be that you're feeling led and you want to pray specifically over some of the graduates where they are right now. You can move as God would lead, but this is what I want to tell you about God and about what it means to go with God and about the love that we have for God and that God has for us. God will forgive you. You make mistakes, you're going to goof up. God will forgive you. And He will help you learn from your mistakes. God will give you strength and ability beyond your own. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit, but you have to be willing to take it, not call God a tag-along, not put God on a shelf. But God's there, and sometimes it's going to be scary. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes it's going to go against what the world thinks you should be doing. But God will give you strength and ability beyond your own to seek out, to find, to know the completion of that plan He has for you. And then finally, God will never, ever, ever leave you. There are going to be times, graduates, and it's just a part of life, that you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel very alone. And the people in this room, every person here has probably felt that at some point in their life. But as a believer, as a Christian, we can know even when we feel that, and we may even have a hard time seeing God or knowing how God's a part of our life, but we can know with 100% assurance because of what the Bible says and because of the life, that the evidence it shows in our lives, that God will never, ever, ever leave us. And that's a promise that can make a world of difference as we continue to live the life that at times is going to be challenging. But as we go through that, those challenges, we come out on the other end and we see the beauty of how God took those difficult things and helped us to become more who He called us to be. And graduates, that's my prayer for you today. Lord, as we've come here today to celebrate graduates and recognize their accomplishments and how You're part of their lives, Lord, help us to do that in a way that truly lifts them up and honors them, but more than honors them, honors You because of who You are in them and the plan that You have for them. And God, just allow us to continue to be the encouragement and support that they need. And God, as we see that, help us to realize that we're going through life in such a way, and maybe we're not graduating this year or having the same celebrations that these graduates are, but we are indeed Your children. And You do indeed have a plan for us, a plan to prosper us, to give us hope and a future. And Lord, help us to focus on that plan and not just go through life, letting life decide who we're going to be, but may we choose to be the person you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Invitation. It is hymn number 447, Trust and Obey. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3.